Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Well, hello, Every Nation. My name is Nathan. If we've not had the chance to meet personally, I look forward to that day. I miss all of you, and it's still my joy to bring messages today over YouTube and Facebook. My goodness, I miss doing this together. This past Sunday, we got together and worshiped God, and the Holy Spirit was so present there. God was there with us, and I miss that collective experience in the presence of God. Today, as we kick off a new series, we're going to talk a lot more about how God wants to dwell in us and through us and minister to this world. As I said, today we're starting a new series, and it's from the book of Acts. And the book of Acts starts like this. It says, in the first book, this is the first words from Acts 1:1. In the first book, what is the author referring to? Well, the author is Luke, and he's referring to his first book called Luke. And now he's writing his second book, and he's saying, now I've got a second book. So what is this second book about? Well, in my first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Essentially saying, in this second book, I'm going to write about what Jesus continued to do and to teach. It's called the Acts of the Apostles, but really the main character all the way through from start to finish is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's all about the work of Jesus that he does through the church. And what's incredible about the work of Jesus is that he is not done working. He's not done with his work. And today he's using me and he's using you and our church, Every Nation NYC, to affect change in New York City. God's not done. God's not done working, moving, creating change, doing miracles. The miracle working power of God is still at work. We got to hear just on Mother's Day how God's miracle blessings are still at work in this body, in this city, in this day and age. And it's for that reason that God is still working, using his people, me and you being the body of Christ together, that we're calling this series through the book of Acts, Living It. Living It. And it's all about living the life that Jesus has called us to live to affect the change in this world that he would have us do. And I want to speak to you very directly here. The call is not for those people out there to live it. It's for you to live it. For you to live the empowered life of God. I believe that all of us have a next step. Whether you're a veteran Christian, you've been serving God 60 years, I praise God for you. You also have a next step. God's not done with you yet. If you breathe air right now, God's not done. If you, maybe you're 13 or 12 and you're like, well, this is for the adults. No, this is for you. And if you can understand what I'm saying right now, this is for you right now. God's going to use you. God's got plans for your life. God works through children. He works through all of us, adults, children, youth, our campus people. Shout out to everybody who's in college and involved in our campus ministry. God wants to work through you. He wants to work on your campuses, and it's for us to live it. This is not about outsourcing our faith to the professional Christians that are on our screens or in the podcast or wherever you find your professional Christians. It's about you, God activating his body, you, whoever you are, living the life that God has called you to live. We all have a next step. Perhaps you've not been baptized. Well, it's time for you to be baptized. God's calling you today. This is God's message to you. It's time to get baptized. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Today is the day of salvation for you. Maybe you've never shared your faith. You're going into your school every day and they don't know that you're a Christian. That's a next step for you. It's time to share your faith, to open up. Who's your Lord and Savior? His name's Jesus. He died on the cross. Maybe you've never prayed for somebody and believed for a miracle on the street. Maybe God's been working in your heart and you know that you're supposed to pray with somebody at your office. He has a next step for all of us. Maybe you've never made a disciple. Maybe you've never been involved in a discipleship relationship. Well, there's a ton of next steps for all of us. Friends, I'm believing that one day God's going to use me to raise the dead. I kind of hope not today, because that means there's dead people in my day. It hasn't happened yet today. I would like for it to stay that way. But what I'm saying is that there's always another step of faith for us. I want to live it. That all happens in Acts. And our goal is not to read it like these are some Bible heroes. Yeah, they are Bible heroes, but they're messed up people just like me and you. And God wants to use us to advance his kingdom, to live that life through us. We all have a next step. We've just wrapped up a series on Exodus. And it's called Exodus, the Road Out, right? And Exodus and the book of Acts touch. They overlap right here at the very beginning. And they touch on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 starts when the day of Pentecost arrived. What's this day of Pentecost? Well, the day of Pentecost was a Jewish festival called Shavuot, and it was 50 days after Passover. Well, Pentecost for us is 50 days after Easter. And you'll remember Easter and Passover align. Passover was that day when the spotless lamb was killed so that the wrath of God, the angel of death, would pass over the Israelites and strike the firstborn of Egypt. And it was the power of God that set them free and let them go out of Egypt. The same way, our Easter celebration is when our spotless lamb was killed, died on the cross for our sin, allowing the wrath of God to pass over us and leading us into freedom. 50 days after Passover, children of Israel find themselves at the foot of Mount Sinai. And the fire of God descends on Mount Sinai. It says the fire was there and the smoke was so thick, it was like a kiln. And there was thunder and lightning, and the whole mountain was shaking. And the power of God descended on that mountain. In Exodus 19, we read the voice of God coming from the mountain and telling Moses this: "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you out on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possessions among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." 50 days after Passover, God invites his people into a deep, loving covenant relationship. Remember that the call all through Exodus is, "Let my people go so they may worship me, so they can serve me, so they can have a feast in my presence." Our goal, the goal of our freedom, the goal of our salvation is not just so that we're forgiven, it's so that we're free, and we're free to have a relationship with God. In the same way, Jesus died, and often we stop just there, praise God, our sins are forgiven, but that's not where our faith ends, that's where our faith begins. Now we walk into freedom, now we walk into relationship, and just like 50 days after Passover, the fire fell on the mountain, 50 days after Easter, after the resurrection of Jesus, the fire falls on his church and breathes new life into them and gives them a brand new covenant and a way to reach the nations. That's what we want to see happen in our church. That's what we want to see happen in our city. There's an invitation right now, church family, into relationship, into living a new life with Jesus. This is for you. This is for your home. This is for your household. Unfortunately, the children of Israel shrank back from this call. In Exodus 20, they tell Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, or we will die." And it was shortly after they send Moses, and they say, "Yeah, we don't want to hear anything more from God. He's too scary, and he's going to kill us." After that, it's just shortly after that, they build the golden calf. And they use the freedom, and they use the wealth, and they use the riches that God won for them in Egypt to build idols. Today, as we celebrate the spotless lamb, and today is Pentecost Sunday in our liturgical calendar, today is Pentecost Sunday, let us draw closer and take God up on this offer to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, representing God to the world and the world to God, standing in the gap between heaven and earth and crying out to God and seeing his kingdom come and his will be done. Don't shrink back. Don't go into idolatry. Don't settle for less. Today, let's believe together for more, that God's presence would envelop our church and empower us to reach this city. Let's dive in to Acts. Chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived. Remember that overlap of Exodus. And now there's a new Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven like the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all, say all. Somebody put all in the comments. Get that all into you. Don't you dare pull back in this moment. Don't you dare think that's for somebody else. That's for the pastor. That's for my mom. That's for those holy people over there. This is for you. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound of the multitude, came together, and they were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in their own language. Today I've got 3 points from this. Let's pray. Father, we want to draw closer to you. We want your Holy Spirit to fall again. Holy Spirit, we invite you now. Just where you are, invite him. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today is Becoming Home for the Holy Spirit. Becoming home for the Holy Spirit. This is something that God has offered to each one of us. Later in Acts, when Peter stood up, he said, this gift of the Holy Spirit is for you and your household and all who believe. This is for you. This Holy Spirit is for you, and it's for us to become home to the Holy Spirit. That sounds a little bit mystical, perhaps, maybe magical. We use the word sometimes supernatural. I like the word unseen, because the Spirit of God is just another unseen thing that brings us power. Now let's think about it. What are all of the things, and I recently was sitting with my children at the dinner table, and I said, what are all the things that we can't see but influence our lives, that have power in our lives? And they're like the wind and germs, the coronavirus. We've never seen the coronavirus, but my goodness, it has some influence in our life. Never seen it. Doesn't mean it's not real though, right? Doesn't mean it doesn't have power. Never seen it. Internet. Have you seen the internet? I don't know what that is. Have you seen the 5G? I've not seen the 5G. I've been affected by the 5G. I've been affected by the internet. We are collectively right now connected. Energy, magnetism, gravity. There are all sorts of powers in our life that are affecting us continually that we've never seen. And the Spirit of God is just another power that is affecting us, and spiritual forces are affecting us constantly. And it's time that we open our eyes and see them around us. Or at least what I mean by open our eyes and see them is become aware of them. Become aware of the spiritual forces that are operating on your life, whether you believe in them or not, whether you're aware of them or not. They are here, they are real, just like all of the other unseen forces in our life. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a force. He is a being. He's one of the three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the time I hear people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, as though he is inanimate. He is not an it. Throughout all of Scripture, he is referred to as he. I don't think that speaks so much of the gender as just his personhood. He's a he. That's how he refers to himself in the Scripture. Right now there's a big thing in culture. Well, that's how we're going to refer to God as well. He. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we hear Paul write this, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." This person of God has emotions, has feelings, has opinions. And now we start to see that this Spirit is not just an unseen force, but is a person, is a being, and there's a quality about this Spirit that I think that we've overlooked. We've called him the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost our whole life. You've heard of the Holy Spirit. But now let's contemplate and consider this second word, holy. He's holy. Holy means entirely different, utterly unapproachable, like nothing else. And God himself is entirely holy. In a category all of his own, literally everything that you've ever done, experienced, tasted, touched, been influenced by, has been created. Everything other than God has found its source in God. God is the only eternal and uncreated thing or being in the entire universe. He's holy unto himself. When God does something, it is right. Not because God has ascribed to some sort of morality outside of himself, but because God himself is the definition of morality. Nothing else in the universe is holy like our God, is moral like our God, is right like our God. He is right because he is right, because he is rightness. Within him is holiness and righteousness and justice, not as servant of, but as definition. He is truth. He is righteousness. He is holiness. And to approach that holiness as unholy creatures, to approach that infinitude as finite creatures is impossible. We can't. It's like drawing close to the sun. The sun in itself is holy in our solar system. There's nothing else like it. There's no other star or celestial body like our sun within our solar system. To approach it would mean certain doom for us. Would mean certain death. To approach God just in the same way, certain death, you can't combine the holy and the profane. But here, God is inviting us in to a new level of intimacy and relationship with him. How does he do it? He does it by causing us to be holy, causing us to be clean, by sacrificing his only son, by allowing us to be washed by his life and his righteousness, by drawing close to us so that we might, by his grace, draw close to him. God today is calling us as his church to rise up in holiness, to rise up in our service of him, in our obedience to him, and becoming more and more like him. Just like the lamb led the children of Israel to Sinai, so Jesus is leading us to Pentecost, to being filled, to becoming the temple of God by his work. Friends, let's not stop short and just stop at forgiveness. Let's not just stop at freedom. Praise God, you are free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free. You are forgiven. You are loved by God. But let's not stop there. Let's pursue holiness. Let's not just reject what is wrong, but let's pursue what is pure. And God, I believe, is calling us right now as a church and as a body into a new level of holiness. We've allowed in certain areas of our lives worldliness and definitions from the world to define us, to allow us to center around what the world is caring about most. To be holy is to care about what God cares about. It's to use the words that God would use. It's to watch the things that God would watch. Friends, if you are a Christian and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you should be doing the things that the Holy Spirit would do. You should be watching, saying, thinking, acting like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enters us so that we might become like Jesus on earth. That is what it is to be his body, filled, empowered with the power of God so that we can reach and touch the world and change something when we do. We're called to be different. We're called to be holy, but we're acting like the world. You can't touch the world with the world and change it. We need the power of God in and upon us. We need to be holy, cut through with the call of God. Today, God is calling. He's calling us out to act differently, think differently, smell different. I was talking with a neighbor of mine the other day, and we've had a number of conversations, and it finally dropped. I mentioned that I'm a pastor, and she goes, "Oh, that makes sense. You've always got this peace about you." And I'm not saying that to say I'm just this bastion of peace. What I am is I am a home for the Holy Spirit. She said, "Thanks for the vibes." She didn't even have words for it. Thanks for the vibes. I get it. There's a vibe. It's called the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. He moves through me. Got to pray with a woman on the street the other day, and we wept on the street because God met us. There's a different thing in me, and His name is the Holy Spirit, and I got a power that is beyond me because I've got the living God on the inside of me. Friends, there's an invitation. God has carried us out on eagle's wings, and He's called us to Himself. Will you be that priest? Will you be that holy nation? Will you be a representative of God to this hurt, broken, beautiful city called New York? This is where God is calling us. Be holy like I'm holy. Be filled with the Spirit of holiness. God didn't just call one person into this, but they were together when God called, when the fire fell. Acts 2, verse 1, again, they were all together in one place. And this word together in the Greek, it doesn't just mean together physically. It means, and we've said it before, together, together. They were of one heart, one mind. In the Greek, it would mean with one mind, with one accord, with one passion. They were set and fixated on one thing. They were calling out to God. Their hearts were set on Him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, it talks about how God is building us together to become a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You are a member of the household of God. God is building you with other believers to house the presence of God. If we're going to become a home for the Holy Spirit, then we've got to be connected. We've got to be together, together. When I start to think that, when I start to say that over our church, the question arises, how can we do this? With all of the diversity, with all of the divergent thoughts, with all of the different political persuasions, how can we do this? How can we truly be unified in such a divisive time? And it's a challenge. I'm not going to lie to you. This Christian thing is tough. And this church thing is tough. And this is a tough time to be a Christian. But here's what I'd like to call us to. In amongst all of the different ideas, theories, philosophies of this world, right in the middle of it, right in the middle of the heart of so much of all of the thought that is happening in the U.S. right now, New York City, let us, every nation in New York, exalt the name of Jesus. In the midst of a culture that says, believe what I believe, and you must express your opinion the way I want you to express it, or I will cancel you, or I will cut you out of my life. In the midst of a culture that says my way or no way, in the midst of a culture that says you've got to post your opinion on everything that is in our culture, express your opinion, let your opinion be known, raise your voice about everything else, let us raise our opinion and our standard for one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We're going to raise our standard on Him and Him alone. In the midst of a culture that says my way or the highway, Jesus died for you and me. while we were sinners, while I was a wretched sinner, Jesus died for me. When I was an enemy of God, when I had yet to do anything of good for him, he hung on a cross for me. And that thought alone, so powerful, that it begins to change our heart, melt our heart. Friends, we cannot be professional speck finders when we've been forgiven for so much. In the church, there's a culture sometimes of going around and finding specks and critiquing and finding little things that are wrong and nitpicking on other believers. How dare we? How dare we nitpick those who Christ died for? We don't participate in call out. We don't participate in cancel. Because rather than calling out, Christ died. Rather than canceling us, Christ died for us. We don't participate in that. We exalt Jesus. And we lovingly accept with open arms anybody that Jesus brings our way. We've been brought in not because we were righteous or we said the right thing or did the right thing. Heaven knows I've done almost everything wrong. We've been brought in because Jesus pursued us and died for us. When we exalt him, there's going to be such a deep unity. When we center our lives around the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, death, resurrection, the forgiveness that he offers to us, the freedom that he brings us into, such a deep unity that nothing could tear us apart. Because frankly, we've been centered on the most mighty act of love. And we've not relegated it to something that we believed in the past, but we live in it day by day. Jesus died for me. The blood of Jesus is enough. God, your love is enough. I'm accepted, I've been brought in, and I'm not deserving of it. Day by day, let's live there. Let's be united around the cross. Unity is not about suppressing our differences. It's exalting our commonality, that we all need a savior. Every one of us needs a savior. Every person in this city needs a savior, and they're desperately crying out for it. Can you hear them? They're raising their voices for it. They need a savior. Who will save us? Who will save us from this culture? Who will save us from this moment? Who will save us? Thanks be to God, who's given us the answer in Christ Jesus. Let's center him. Let's exalt him together. When they did this, they were unified, together, living holy, obedient to Jesus, obeying the words. He said, stay in the city. They obeyed. He said it. They did it. They lived it. When they did this, the Holy Spirit fell, and what came out was revival, and what came out was the nations coming to know Jesus. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, this extraordinary, diverse community that had been brought into Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, Shavuot. And the sound of the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak his own language. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives us a bridge to start to communicate with people that are different than us, to love people who are different than us, to care for our, and have the power to actually act for others who are different than us. Friends, let's become a home for the Holy Spirit. Let's become the seedbed of revival, the seedbed of reaching every tribe, language, nation, and tongue, this extraordinary city where over 800 languages are spoken. And just about a representative from probably every nation on earth is at least in our city. God loves this place because of its diversity. God loves this place because of its density. He He loves this place because of the creativity and the wealth and all of the expressions of art and culture and education and finance and medicine and the research. When we research, we're researching his world that he made. We're just finding out more about him. He loves this place because of all of the careers and the work that you are doing. Now let's be empowered in that through the power of the Holy Spirit to not just live for ourselves and our little kingdoms, but for the kingdom of God to be expressed on earth. Let's do this together. Let's walk by the Spirit. Let's live holy and be united around our King, Jesus Christ. We often think that revival is just these moments that God turns up and puts on a big show and everybody comes and sees, but this is what revival is. It's when God works through the humble prayers, sustained effort, strategic plans, and orthodox teaching of his church. I heard that in a boot camp last week. I've got to thank Josh Crossman for that quote. God works through the humble prayers, sustained effort, strategic plans, and orthodox teaching of his church. Let's stay faithful, stay hungry, and become a home for the Holy Spirit. Prepare your minds, your bodies, your lifestyle, your action. Let's live for God and him alone. Friends, can we do this together? Can we grow together, shedding every other lifestyle, leaving behind this world, and living for him alone? Let's become a home, Every Nation NYC, right in the heart of this city, a home for the Holy Spirit. Can we pray together? Holy God, you're so good. And the image of a holy fire coming down upon us is powerful beyond words. God, that you would choose us. It's too good. It's beyond measure. We thank you for your forgiveness. We love it. We love you, Jesus. Father, I pray that we'd move from forgiveness into holiness, that we'd move from freedom into righteous action and living, that, Lord, we'd not relegate our faith to professional Christians or for the older, or for the younger, or for those people over there, but God, we'd each individually be filled with your holy fire, filled with the Holy Spirit, and live your life through us today. God, thank you for your power falling on people, power to leave sin-filled situations, leave lifestyle choices that they've come to regret, leave and pursue you with their whole heart. God, we surrender our lives to you. What you say, we obey. Just open your heart up to God and make this commitment to him. Lord, if you say it, I'll do it. It's risky. Oh yeah, it's risky, but it's better. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's be a home for the Holy Spirit. If you need prayer, please send us a text. We'd love to stand with you. We'd love to pray for you if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Say pray for. Say, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to pray with you. We want to see God move in your life. We want to see chains break off and you walk free so we can, together, live it. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.